We started off the year for the month of January focusing on the topic of prayer. I don't know if you remember, but we did a number of messages in January about prayer. Then in February, we moved on to discipleship. And Pastor Justin led us through some messages on the call that we have to be disciples and also the call we have to disciple others. And so that was the month of February. Now in March, we start off last Sunday with Jacob sharing with us his testimony and this whole concept of giving our hearts. The Lord wants our hearts. And so this month of February, it's all about giving. Lest you fall into the temptation to think, oh, it's going to be a whole thing on money. No, it's going to be a whole thing on our hearts. Because God wants our hearts. And we know the scripture speaks to how important it is to give our hearts to the Lord. And so last week it was all about giving the Lord your heart in your youth. If you look at your outline, giving the Lord your heart in your youth. Proverbs 3, 5, and 6, as a review of what Jacob shared, says, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. Lean not unto thine own understanding. In all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct thy paths. That's key to your life direction. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart. And Jacob wonderfully shared from his own life story how God is taking him through that lesson in his time and stage of life. Today I want to focus on let the Lord purify your heart in family life. It's one thing to give your heart to the Lord, and then the Lord's going to take it and begin to refine it. We all have selfish hearts, all of us. It's part of the inheritance of being born in sin. We want to be the most important. And so God's going to take us through some stages, and I believe a lot of it happens in the family stage of life, where we begin to realize the world doesn't revolve around us. And certainly if you become parents, as Clayton and Kat have, they will begin to learn that, boy, I never knew there were so many duties in being a parent. I didn't realize there were going to be so many interruptions to my life that come with being a parent. But there are. We'll talk about that today. Next week, we're going to talk about ask God to strengthen your heart in your vocational stage of life. When you go into the workplace or into ministry, whatever it may be, you're going to discover there's a lot of people around you who don't think like you do. At home, it was our kids begin to develop some different views than we have as parents. But in the workplace, there's a lot more. A lot more different views about life. And so how will God use that stage in our life to strengthen our trust in him? Purify our hearts with regard to all the philosophies and ideas and concepts that are floating around out in the world around us. And the last stage we're going to talk about this month will be how to work with God to help others give their heart and make that our legacy. Kind of that harvest stage of life where we've gone through parenting, we've gone through our work years, and now we enter those years where we can fully concentrate on really seeing God work in the hearts of others. I mean, we can do that all the way through, but there's something about when your family is raised where you have a different level of maturity and understanding to be able to come alongside people and to pray for people and see how God's going to work in their hearts. So you're with me? Month of March, what's it about? Giving our hearts and letting God work in our hearts. And I know that as we go through this, there's a lot of things that probably will be different because as we think about what your job was and what my job was and what all everybody's jobs are different, but there's some principles here that we're going to have. Even in this family stage today, your family is unique. Every family has their own unique story. But there's principles here that we're going to try and discover that will help us in this process of letting God purify our hearts in our families. So I want to start off today by just first of all reading this verse from Proverbs chapter 23, verse 26, as kind of a thematic overview of this whole month where we're talking about giving to the Lord, starting with our hearts. It says there in verse 26, "My son, give me thine heart." I think daughters are included too. "And let thine eyes observe my ways." God's ways. How are God's ways demonstrated in all these different stages of life? I don't know what stage of life you're in. Maybe you're still in the youth stage. Maybe you're in the parenting stage. Maybe you're in the time when your life is consumed with business or work. Or maybe you're in the grandparent stage where you're able to sit back and watch everybody else do those first three. Maybe. Whatever it is, God still wants to work in our hearts. He longs for that fellowship with us, heart to heart. And so, as we go through this today, I appreciate that you will understand I come from where I come from. I was a pastor's kid. I was the oldest of four. My dad was a pastor. My mom passed away suddenly when I was only 4 years old. And my dad remarried. And I grew up in a family with eventually one half-brother. And there was four of us. And so that's my background. I don't know what yours is. But we all come from different family contexts. My dad was a Baptist pastor, right? So I had to sit in the front row. And I had to sit very still and be very proper. Or else I got it when I got home. We were strict. And it didn't do me any harm. It was good for me. I appreciate the heart of my parents to train and disciple us kids. And so I speak of my time in my childhood, and also then as I grew into a young adult and eventually married and have family of my own, I'm grateful for how the Lord is teaching me. I will tell you that there is more to be learned in the family than there is anywhere else in terms of our character development. It starts at home. And we'll get into more of that as we go today. Now, first of all, we want to make a couple foundational points here. God is love, and he gives to show it. Of course you know that. God is love. We all know that. Gott ist die Liebe, right? We sing the song. God is love. In German, we sing it. But you know that God shows his love. 1 John chapter 4, verse 7, "Below, let us love one another, for love is of God. And everyone that loveth is born of God and knoweth God. He that loveth not knows not God, for God is love. In this was manifested the love of God toward us, because that God sent his only begotten Son into the world, that we might live through him. Herein is love, not that we loved God, but that he loved us and sent his Son to be the propitiation for our sins." God loves you, me, and everybody else out there. He loves them. And he demonstrated it by giving of his own Son. You know the verse, John 3:16? Would you say it with me? "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." God loves us, sent his Son to rescue us from eternal judgment as an act of giving for our needs. And then we all know that God asks us to love him with all of our hearts. Matthew chapter 22, Jesus being asked by one of the lawyers and Pharisees at that time, some questions. Matthew chapter 22, verse 34. We read this: "But when the Pharisees had heard that he had put the Sadducees to silence in a debate they were having, they were gathered together. Then one of them, which was a lawyer, asked him a question, tempting him and saying, 'Master, which is the great commandment in the law?' And Jesus said to him, 'Thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. This is the first and great commandment. And the second is like unto it: thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. On these two commandments hang all the law and all the prophets.'" The entire Old Testament is con- condensed and summarized in these two instructions. Love God with all your heart and love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. Well, I could start right there. Do you even know your neighbor? Ouch. Get to know your neighbor. Get to know your neighbor. God wants you to love them. Find out what their needs are. See what he can do through you to love your neighbor. Love your neighbor as much as you love yourself. And then he wants us to start with that process of in-depth or deep dive loving in our families. I'm going to show a picture here that is a little personal, but that's my family. Two of them missing. This was at my 70th birthday party last summer down at Ocean Shores on the beach. And we gathered there as a family together. Two had to work. Alyssa was busy with air traffic control, and Christy was busy with RCMP. So they couldn't make it. So add two more bodies to that picture. I'm going to tell you a story. I prayed as a youth that God would give me a wife. And when Fran came to our church, brought to our church by some friends from school, as an unbeliever, she came at about 16 years old. And in the years that followed, I saw her accept Christ and get baptized, and I saw her commitment to the Lord. And the Lord put it on my heart that I think not only was she attractive to me physically, but she was also attractive to me spiritually with her very quiet depth of commitment to the Lord. And I approached her about just spending time together. I think in the modern day we call it dating. No, it's called hanging out now. We don't even formally date anymore. We just hang out. So she was hesitant. And I thought at first, well, maybe it's because I'm not attractive or whatever it was. I didn't know. And as I got to know her and I saw her grow in her faith and in her spiritual love for the Lord, we gained a level of trust with each other where one day she shared with me that I don't think I'm ever going to get married. And I said, why not? And she said, because I've been told by my doctor that due to ovarian issues, I'll probably never have children. What guy would want me? And I said, wow, okay. And actually, I started laughing. Very disrespectful. I started laughing because my father had had so many cases as a pastor where people had come to him and said, we can't have kids, and so we're going to adopt a child, and they'd adopt one or two, and then all of a sudden they'd have their own. And I just was so clear to me that if God wants, I told her, I said, if God wants us to have children, we'll have children, no matter what the doctor says. If he doesn't want us to have children, he has something else in mind, which will be better anyway, because it's his plan. And so that helped her. And eventually we got married, and fully not expecting to have children. I was transferred, I was working with Pacific Western Airlines at the time when we were transferred to Edmonton. I was in charge of the pilot training center. And at that point, we bought our townhouse together as our first home, and it was an adult-only townhouse development. Right? Just going with the facts. Maybe a lack of faith? I don't know. I wasn't fighting it. I wasn't going to change God's mind or whatever. We got there, and we moved in December and January of 1983. And by the fall of 1983, we discovered that she had become pregnant. And so, oh no. Checked with the Strata Council. I'm sorry, the rules are the rules. So we had to sell. So we put our house up for sale, or townhouse up for sale, and bought a house in southern, that was in St. Albert, we bought a house in southern Edmonton, Millwoods area, and moved, surprised, about we're going to become parents. And then secondly, like, now what? We didn't plan for this. And so Nikki was born in June of 84, our first. And yeah, we had a home birth. It's another whole story. But it was within a month that we were transferred back to Vancouver. And it was like, wow, God showed his power. And then 2.5 years later, Dwight came along. Then 2 years later, Melinda came along. And then 2 years later, Christy came along. Well, there were relatives starting to say, like, okay, you know there are ways to stop this. And we had come to a place in our journey of faith with God where we said, God, we didn't expect to have any, and you've blessed us with these wonderful children. I don't know what you have in mind, but we want what you want. I remember talking with an older lady in our church there in Edmonton, and we'd gone back to visit with our four kids, and she said, so how many kids do you plan to have? And I said, well, actually, I don't think I can handle more than four. You don't know what you can handle, was her response. She was right. And we waited on the Lord. And eventually, God blessed us with 9 children. Number 10 is already in heaven. And I can tell you that for me, family life has been the most instructive character development I could have ever experienced. Every one of our 9 children are different. You know many of them. They're unique in their personality, their perspective, their opinions. Some of them are stronger in their opinions. Some of them are weaker. Some of them are very attractive, like their mother. Some of them are like me. I didn't name names. I couldn't have lived a better life. And it was because we said, God, we give you our hearts for family life. We give you our hearts. What do you want to do? And we're going to trust you. Now, you know, for the first, we were married in 82. I was asked by the board here in 1994 if I'd leave my vocation at Canadian Airlines, as it was after all the mergers, and I was responsible for the pilot training division in Vancouver. And I said, would you leave your position to come and serve in ministry here at Rose of Sharon? And we again prayed and fasted and felt that was the Lord's leading. We had 5 children at that time. And I remember my parents-in-law, my wife's parents, who were not saved yet. They were Catholic background. And I remember my father-in-law sitting down with us when I asked his advice about this decision. And he said, just a minute now, what you're saying to me is you are parents with 5 kids and you're going to depend on donations to raise your family? Yeah, kind of that's where it is. We're trusting the Lord. He kind of shook his head, but they gave us their blessing. And it was not easy when I was at times in the airline business, I could do some overtime when I was not management yet, and you can make some extra money for the extra events that happen in a family life where you have some expenses you didn't plan on, and then went into management and then eventually into ministry. And in ministry, there's no overtime pay. You just, that's your money, that's it, make it work. So the only thing that gives is your expenses. And I remember as a father, I was talking to Clayton about it this week, and he said, yeah, Dad, you were pretty stressed. And I said, well, maybe one day you'll have 9 and you'll, you know what it feels like. How do you clothe and house and feed and transport a family of 11 people? And every time, you know, a car got bigger, and then a minivan, and then a big van, and then, you know. At one point, we had four boys sharing a bedroom. They had a great time. But how do you do that? And I just, Lord, we've given you our hearts. We're asking you to provide, and he has wonderfully provided for us. I was blessed in that when we left Canadian Airlines, I basically had a house paid for with those first 22 years of vocational life. But I knew that God could be trusted. But we had to do our part. We had to look around for how do you feed these people. And so I would make orders from the restaurant suppliers. And we bought the 50-pound bags of brown sugar and flour. And I loaded my van up with a restaurant delivery and brought it home, put it in buckets and stored it. And that's how we did it. Family life forced me to get creative. It forced me to get inventive and somehow find solutions that normally I never would have had to otherwise explore. And God answered prayers. So God answered prayer in my life with a wonderful life partner. The Bible talks about it, Proverbs 18. If you're not married yet and you want to get married, ask the Lord. Ask the Lord to provide you a partner. If you don't pray, it's really saying, I don't believe God could do it. And when you do pray, really mean, I believe God can do it. Proverbs 18:22 says this, whoso findeth a wife findeth a good thing and obtaineth favor of the Lord. Then over in Proverbs 19:14, further goes to say that houses and riches are the inheritance of fathers, and a prudent wife is from the Lord. Now, what's a prudent wife? Well, a woman of understanding, an insightful woman, a sensible woman. Those character qualities are the result of God working in a life, and that's a wonderful partner to have. And God answered my prayers for that. And then with children and grandchildren, they are gifts from God. It was read earlier. The children are a gift from the Lord. He creates life. No matter how hard I squeeze or try or jump or up and down and make a fuss, God is the only one who gives life. Ask him. And then we have a responsibility in family life for our parents and our grandparents. And family life isn't just one generation. It's multi-generational. How many of you have existing family members in your family that represent four generations? How many four-generation family members do we have here? One, two, three, four, five? Four generations. Anybody with five generations here? Don't see any hands. Five generations. It is a blessing to have multiple generations in a family where you learn one from the other. Is there five? No? Don't want to miss anybody. But we have this instruction back in Exodus in part of the Ten Commandments to honor your father and mother. And it doesn't say until you're 18 or 21. It says you're supposed to give your parents honor. And there's nothing there that says if they're good, if they give you what you want, if they let you use the car. No, it doesn't say that. Just honor your parents, even the bad ones. It's hard. Oh, that's hard. Emotionally, it's very hard. It's not my idea, it's God's idea. Honor them. Why? That it may go well with you. You're going to learn character and trust in God that will be a blessing to you in all the other experiences of life. Honor thy father and mother. And then over in 1 Timothy 5, it further talks about responsibilities in family life with regard to multiple generations, where it talks about care for the widows. And it's very clear that we have a responsibility in our families to care for those who are older. 1 Timothy 5, verse 3, honor widows that are widows indeed, generally. And then verse 4, but if any widow have children or nephews, let them learn first to show piety at home or true godly living at home and to requite, that's an interesting word, their parents, for that is good and acceptable before God. What does that mean to requite? Well, it means to recompense them, to give to them, to repay them for all they have poured into your life. Did your parents invest in you at all? We kind of take it for granted, don't we? And we kind of often go on and think, only we remember the bad experiences rather than all the blessings of day-to-day things that they poured into our life. Did they feed you? Did they clothe you? Did they house you? Did they train you? Did they provide support for you and care for you? Yeah, they did. The Bible says that there is an obligation of honor that needs to be given back to parents in their older ages, especially if they're a widow. Especially. So that makes up family life. It's a blessing. As you can imagine with that picture of our gang, we had a great time. We had a great time. I love every one of them. Every one of them are very unique individuals that I'm so excited to be able to sit back as I grow older and watch and see what God does in their lives and in their families. I don't need Sportsnet. I still watch Sportsnet. Just to keep up with my son's tracking of some teams. It's a blessing to have family members. And I'm not saying that everybody has to go out and have 9 kids. I'm not saying that. But whatever God has given you, cherish it. Cherish it. Thank Him. Bless Him. Let the points of conflict at times that occur in a family refine you. Learn to listen to others' opinions. There are other views of life. Sometimes we forget that. Now, there's maturity that has to come. I get it. We're going to talk a little bit about that next week when we talk about vocational life. One of the things I would say that happens in family life when you have children and you have total control. I mean, you tell them when to go to bed, they can fight you, but you can put them in bed anyway. And in time to get up, and they can fight you, and you can go drag them out of bed anyway. And, you know, you have total control. But there's a stage coming where you will not have that total control. And in that stage, in that young adult stage, we all go through a period of what we call idealism. It's got to be a perfect world out there somewhere. And young people are very, very vulnerable to picking up causes for idealism. And one of the blessings of family life is that it brings you from idealism to God-focused reality. There's some real to live with as well as the ideal. And we have a wonderful blessing of family members who are closest to us, who can really speak comfortably, very openly and honestly with us. And sometimes we get a little offended by that, but in the end, it's good for us. We need to hear it. We need to listen. How do we give love to God in our family life? I want to be very practical here. How do we give love? Quickly through these. 1 John 4, verse 11 speaks about something very, very convicting. That whole section about how God is love and cares for us and proves that He's loved by giving His Son for us. And then it goes on in verse 11. Beloved, if God so loved us, we ought also to love one another. Okay? And then verse 20. If a man say, I love God, but hates his brother, he's a liar. Ouch. For he that loveth not his brother whom he hath seen, how can he love God whom he hath not seen? And this commandment have we from him, that he who loves God love his brother also, or sister. How? How do we do that? Okay, first of all, our spouse. Lots of blanks to fill in here. Spouse, love and respect. Ephesians 5:33 talks about husbands, love your wives. Wives, reverence or respect your husbands. Those are two primary needs that we have in our life. A woman needs to be loved. A man longs to be respected. Teamwork. It's not his, not hers, but ours. Ours. Teamwork. Words of encouragement are needed. Empathy that says, man, you're going through a lot right now. I want to encourage you for what you're experiencing. You're doing a good job. How many times do we actually say to our spouses, you're doing a good job? Wow. Have you said it this week? Have you said to your spouse, I appreciate you. You're doing a good job. We need it, don't we? Hello? Yeah, we need it. And if we need it, we should give it. And then prayer support. Prayer support. Every night, my wife and I have prayer time together and faithfully pray for each other with what's going on in our lives. That's not a hard thing to do. People, if you're not doing it, start it. It's not a hard thing to do. Before you go to sleep, you know, okay, prayer time. What should I pray for you? What should I pray for you? And ask God to bring that need supply for that partner's life. Prayer support. Job sharing. Be a backup. Job sharing or relief. Be a backup to each other's load that you're carrying. Job sharing. My wife has never offered to come preach for me. That's okay. But she does so much more. She's in children's church today. She's in the school. She just says, this is what I can do. I can work with the kids. And she faithfully serves with the kids. And when I'm not preaching and she's on children's duty, I go with her to help be with her in children's church. Simple things we can do to encourage one another and help carry the load for each other. Then visioning, planning, and scheduling together. You need some time as a couple to be uninterrupted so you can spend time just looking at your calendars, whether it's in your phone or a book or whatever, and saying, what's happening in the next month? What do we have on our schedules? And share that back and forth. Planning. And then visioning together. Where do you see us in 5 years? Where do you see us in 10 years? What's on your heart that's a burden? What's on your heart that excites you about our future together? Visioning, planning, and scheduling. And then personal time together where you can just have fun and relax and enjoy life. We all need that. That is oil to the machine of marriage. It's needed. Children and grandchildren. How do we give love to God in our family life in the context of children and grandchildren? Well, with children and grandchildren, find interests that they have, training them. When they're really little, training them how to hit with a baseball bat or shoot a hockey stick, if it's boys. Girls, training them with cooking or other things they may have interest in. Maybe it's girls with hockey. I'm not woke. I'm not the other either, okay? One in between. Play with them. Have times of education with them. Do activities together with them. I remember as our big family, we used to play baseball together. We played soccer together. Had a lot of fun together. Character development. Have them do chores. Have them have responsibilities. Yeah, we were strict. We said, yeah, you get up in the morning, you got to make your bed. You got to make your bed. I'm absolutely astounded as to how simple it is to make a bed and have it look neat and tidy in your bedroom, and yet how few people do it. If I'm convicting you, good. It's a simple act of character, of being tidy. I remember when two of our family members went through RCMP training, they had a policy that when they had those depot beds made in the morning, the inspector came around and he dropped a quarter. If that quarter didn't bounce on the bed sheets of that bed, the whole thing was ripped up and thrown out in the hallway, and you started over. Now, we weren't that bad, but we wanted your room neat and tidy every day. Teach them that. If they learn that, they'll take it with them in life. Chores and responsibilities for their own personal care and for responsibility with sisters and brothers and in the home. Education, teaching them, even on-the-job training, mentoring, whatever you can arrange with others to help with giving your kids an on-the-job training experience is a wonderful blessing. Guidance, give them guidance, counsel and advice. I've had to learn that was something I just initiated when they were younger, and I've had to learn when they're older to do this until I'm asked. Because, you know, we get into habits, and we're given advice when they're younger, and they get older, and they're going, I already know what you're going to tell me. You know, if I want your opinion, I'll tell you, right? And that's reality. So learn the different stages of life as a parent and say, okay, maybe this is a stage where I'm here. If you want an old guy's perspective, I'll share it if you ask me. Does that ring true? Well, those of you who are grandparents know it's true. Yeah, how we need to learn to adjust to the stages of life of our kids. Because there are stages for sure. And then remember that our goal as parents is not to be in charge controlling their life or create codependent relationships, but our goal is to help launch them so they can make it through life without us. The animal world teaches us that. I think bears, it's what? Within 2 years, they're gone. The cubs are gone. You're on your own. I think the mama bear even just walks away. Get the picture? It's your problem now. And I'm not saying that to be heartless. I'm saying that there's part of the process of saying you're going to have to eventually, in the norms of aging and lifespan, you're going to have to learn to do it without me. So figure it out. Launch them rather than control them. And then parents and grandparents. There's four things I want to share that as I've become, you know, Mia's number 8 for us. What a blessing. God has blessed us with 8 grandchildren. 2 girls, 6 boys. And I would say these 4 things are very meaningful to grandparents. If you want to honor your grandparents or your parents, these 4 things are very simple things you can do. Number 1, communication. The simple question, how are you doing? How are you doing? I could ask the question here, I don't want hands, but if I asked you today as grandparents, how many times have you in the last month experienced a child or grandparent or grandchild come to you and say, hey, dad, grandpa, how are you doing anyway? Oh. Where I was asking them how they're doing, but you see what I'm saying? Number 2, involvement. What's happening in your life? Simple thing to do. If you as a grandchild or grand or a son or daughter want to be involved with your parents or grandparents, just, hey, what's going on in your life? What's your schedule? Number 3, practical support. How can I help you? Is there anything in your life right now where I could be of support or help to you? There may not be, but the blessing of just having them show that care is very meaningful. And lastly, seek and give advice. Do you need anything? Do you need anything? Have you ever, as grandparents, have you ever asked your kids for advice? Have you ever asked your grandkids for advice? You might be surprised. I've done it. I appreciate it. Tell me what you think about my life. What's going on? Sometimes it's humorous. But it's a blessing to be able to speak that kind of relational depth with each other. And so that's quickly how family life can be part of giving our hearts and love to God. We love God by loving the family He's put us in. I could share many stories, but time's gone. ask the Lord to purify your heart so that love for God will grow and show in your family life. Ask the Lord to purify your heart. In that family stage of life, Lord, refine me. Purify me of my selfishness, that I could be a channel for your love, so that it would grow in our family, that it would show in our family. This is God at work. Amen. I'd love to hear your stories. If we had the time, if we weren't so bound by the clock, I'd love to just stand here and listen to your stories of how this works in your family, how it has worked in your family. I'm sure many of you have stories of great blessing from parents or grandparents or your own siblings where you said, wow, there are so many blessings that we experienced in our families, what God did as we tried to give our hearts to Him. Whatever it is that you're going through, if it's tough times right now in your family, if there's conflicts, if there's broken relationships, which we can experience at times, it's okay. It's not the end of the world. There were times with the Israelites, too, where God turned a deaf ear because there were some things that had to change. And in our life, we can go through that. And if we seek God and we wait on God for His working in those relationships and in His purposes being fulfilled, we'll see God work, maybe not instantly the way we'd like to see it, like we make our coffee and our toast, you know, 3-minute timer on the toast. If it's not up, there's something wrong with this thing, replace it. That's how often it works, doesn't it? But in our lives, sometimes God takes a long time. Moses, he had 40 years of wilderness training before he was ready to be His deliverer for the children of Israel. 40 years in the wilderness. That's a long training program. And so in our lives, don't be thinking God's instant. Prepare for the marathon. Watch how He'll work. Let's pray. God, we thank You so much for Your word, for these principles. You've said in Your word, give me Your heart. In every stage of life, give me Your heart. Lord, we read it so quickly. We think of it as something as simple, and yet, oh my, the daily application of that in our lives is so deep. But Lord, today we ask again that in our family life stage, those relationships that You appointed, You put me in the home that You did as a child. You gave us the children that we love. You, O Lord, have appointed our grandparents. Help us to learn how to love You in the process of loving those around us. I ask in Jesus' name. Amen.